Change starts and stops with a WTF moment. The first is, what the fuck am I doing? We finally wake up to the reality that our life is not what we want it to be. The denial is done. We have to ask ourselves the hard questions. If we never have that moment, nothing changes. The next WTF is walking towards fear. If you aren't willing to find your growth edges and take steps in a new and likely scary direction, again, nothing changes. This podcast is a space to explore open and honest conversations around creating change in our personal worlds, which honestly has become my favorite adventure yet. Thanks for following along. Hi again, it's me, Christina from the future. And again, here we are painting a picture of who we're talking to today. So this is the first time that I have met this individual. They also hiked the PCT last year, and they're an adventurous entrepreneur, an adventurous business owner. So today I want to talk to you guys about Ash, who you will meet in just a moment, but she is such a real, authentic, genuine soul that she came here with so much openness and integrity about her story and where she is and what she's experiencing that I loved every minute of this conversation. Not only that, but she's incredibly talented. You guys will be able to check out her stuff afterwards, but she is talented. She's giving. She gave so selflessly in this episode to share her story, her lessons, and what she's been experiencing that I hope and pray that all of you are ready to sit, listen, sponge in everything that she has to offer, because this woman is absolutely amazing, and I'm so grateful that she took the time to talk with us today. So thanks for listening. Buckle up. Here we go. All right. So today I'm excited because my guest with me is Ash Zarnota, who also goes by Popeye out on the PCT. So she's one of the first people I've talked to actually in season three that is both a badass business owner that walks towards fear and also hiked the Pacific Crest Trail last year. So Ash, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so stoked to be here.
Okay, so I started my season one and two talking to people about their trail names. So before we even like dive into more of the fun stuff, how did you get the trail name Popeye?
Oh my gosh. It really isn't as eventful as it should be, but I was coming out of Idlewild and I had packed out a family size bag of spinach because that was literally the only thing that the market in town had available. But at that time, I was early enough in trail that I was still kind of on a health kick and I wanted to still include as many fresh vegetables and fruits as possible. And when we had gotten down from San Jacinto that night, I was very exhausted and very hungry. I was making myself this amazing pasta dinner that I was adding spinach to. And so I was just sitting at a table and talking to like my trail family. And I just like kept like adding spinach, like just, you know, eating like a sporkful of pasta, adding spinach, and then, you know, repeating that process until I reached my hand in the bag and I realized that I had completely demolished this family sized bag in one sitting. And they were like, look, the decision's already been made. You're Popeye.
So they're like, typically there's veto power, but for you, no, it's stuck.
It's stuck for sure.
Okay. So how did your eating habits actually change on the trail? Because you just said this was, you know, very early Idlewild while you were still having spinach. Did that change? Did you go straight for gummy worms after the spinach was done?
Yes, I became like a hardcore gummy connoisseur near the end. But, you know, unfortunately, it's kind of expensive to eat healthy on trail. Some towns, the further up, it was easy in Southern California because trail towns were more abundant and they just had more amenities. So it was not less expensive, but it was just more accessible to, you know, get those fresh fruits, veggies, and just, you know, wellness items like into my diet. So as I just kind of progressed like up trail, it kind of became more of like a financial prohibitor for me to just kind of keep I still was eating spinach like whenever I could, obviously, but you know, other good stuff for you was replaced by cheaper eats, way too many Knorr pasta sides, way too many Clif Bars in bulk,
Pop-Tarts,
and yeah, way too many Pop-Tarts. Those grocery store outlets are very, very dangerous. So it became more of just kind of a financial burden for me, especially as I was just like kind of just going through money. And then by the time I got to Washington, my partner was helping me just put together some resupply boxes. And I was like, I obviously can't include fresh fruits in here because it's just going to spoil by the time I get to, you know, Snoqualmie or wherever I'm going. So, it was, you know, rough going for my poor wee little intestines towards the end.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
You probably treated them quite well since you've been home, but I totally get it. And we had talked for a minute again before starting to record here, and you had initially planned to do the PCT in 2020, right?
Yes. Yeah, I had planned to do the PCT in 2020, had my permits, had all my gear. About a couple days before COVID was declared as a global pandemic and all of those, you know, shutdowns soon followed. At that time, I was full-time freelancing. I had a full client roster and I had given my notice to most, if not all of them. And they were very, very, all of them were very stoked and supportive of me. And they said, yes, come back when, you know, when you need to, when you're done with the trail, we'd be happy to have you back. Unfortunately, due to the nature of some of those jobs, they had to find either an immediate replacement for me, or they were also like severely affected by COVID and they just couldn't afford to bring me back on again. So, you know, 3 weeks after out from my start date, I had to put a pause on those plans and just kind of hunker down with the rest of the world.
Which I'm sure we've talked about, like, that has a lot of emotional implication, right? Not just on you as a human, but as a business owner. So your business is Alpine Creative Start, right? And I'm curious to know, when did that begin for you? Did you ever work in a corporate, quote, stable job, or have you been kind of into the entrepreneurship world as soon as you started working?
Yeah, so I entered the corporate world right after I graduated college, just 2016, I had a pretty robust marketing position at a local pet treat manufacturing company. And at that time, they just didn't have like any kind of like marketing departments. So, you know, this doe-eyed 21-year-old girl who had really minored in marketing. I graduated, I had gotten my degree. It was not in marketing, but I had minored in marketing. And I was just really interested in breaking into that field. They basically kind of gave me the keys to the castle in that sense. And I really enjoyed having that creative freedom. However, as the months went by, it was a very small company. So I basically kind of directly reported to the owner slash president. There was just so many new ideas being brought to the table. And I was as equally excited about them as they were. The problem was there was only so many hours in the workday and I was only one person. And by the time that, you know, help came through the door to, you know, get most of these marketing initiatives and campaigns up and running, I was already at the point of severe burnout that I would come to work every single day and sit in my car and cry for 10 minutes before going inside. And I realized, I was like, I can't do this anymore if this is what corporate America has in store for me. And I know that this, you know, this particular environment was not a good fit for me, but I also knew myself, my disposition, my personality, how I liked to work and how I thrived best in those kind of, it just was not conducive to a 9-to-5 job. And so with very, very little money in my bank account, I left the company, or rather that decision was actually made for me. So when, you know, I separated from the company, I just decided to go full-time freelance and, you know, throw caution into the wind. And I was kind of my own kind of entity for a long time before I was like, I should probably put like a name to this face. And that's kind of where I came up with Alpine Star Creative and all the kind of iterations that have come of this business since.
Okay. I don't even think I realized that part of your story. So you were in a role, tons of burnout. Curious about that world though. You're like, okay, I kind of like the marketing piece. And then just dove straight into full-time entrepreneurship, freelance work.
Yes.
Okay. So talk me through that process. Cause there's probably people who are listening that are like, I have this idea, right? I have this goal. I have this thing that would be interesting to me. And they're terrified to like make that leap. So what was your decision-making process like, if you even had one, or was it just like a knowing where you went for it?
It was, for me, it was knowing that I had to make a drastic change. It was coming from a place of, I need to make a change in my life before I literally like kill myself, before I get run into the ground. This is for my mental, physical, and spiritual health. I have a partner who, at the time, you know, had a full-time job, and, you know, if things completely went to shit, I could, you know, depend on him. Even though I'm very hyper independent, I will not ask for help until there is a point, you know, until there's like one penny left in my bank account.
Yeah.
I'm just not that, even with my partner who I've been with for 10 years now, it's hard for me to get to that place. So it was more out of, I'm just going to do this because I need to, something has to give, something has to change, whatever that may be. And so for a while I was taking jobs like just on Upwork, because that was really the only source that I knew that I could just kind of, put out proposals, get freelance work without needing to have like a structured business. And that quickly supplemented my income from my previous 9-to-5 corporate role. But I was also taking jobs that, like, you know, that at the time, looking back at it now, I was severely underpaid for. Mm-hmm. I was working, you know, very, very hard, but it was also, you know, I was not getting compensated enough for the value that I was giving to my clients. I know that now. But, and I was also like doing just like really odds and ends type of jobs. Like I was creating Canva graphics for like a storage container company in like Arkansas or something. Anything that I could do to just kind of keep myself working, keep myself at it. And then that's kind of when I started taking those baby steps of, okay, let's maybe just make like a, outline this one page business plan. Let's create a website. And that's just kind of where it took off.
So it's so easy now to like hear you say that. And there's such like a, you know, you're sitting here with like your calm, confident demeanor of like, yes, I jumped full time into entrepreneurship and I started on Upwork and now I'm thriving. But I'm sure there was so much more to it than that. Like, I'm sure there was a ton of ups and downs and like a lot of emotion. So do you remember any particular times of just like, there was doubt, there was fear, there was scarcity, there was just like mental chaos that you had to work through to get to the other side of that choice and making it work for you?
Oh, every day. I mean, I'm kind of in the thick of it like right now, to be honest with you. And it's a completely like, it's kind of like a same shit, different day scenario when you are a freelancer. You are wrestling with more or less like the same internal struggles of imposter syndrome, trying to overcome the scarcity mindset when you know, when a client backs out of a contract or when they have to cut your work for whatever reason, and you're like, gosh, am I not good enough? And then if it has nothing to do with that, then you immediately go to, well, this is a massive hole in my monthly revenue. Now I need to hustle and scramble to fill that gap and put other passion projects on the back burner while I, you know, play catch up. So every single day I was struggling. If it wasn't, I'm not good enough and somebody's going to find me out and expose me as the fraud that I am. It was, next month we're just going to be living on ramen and, you know, fishing out quarters from our couch. Yeah. And of course it didn't come to that, but you and I both know that your mind loves to tell you just absolutely wild stories that are based in no reality.
Wild stories. And that's the cool part, right? To see, oh, that is just a wild story. I don't have to buy into it. Obviously we could go like down a whole mindset rabbit hole with that, but just like acknowledging anybody's journey is not super linear. It's not super clean. And it's never the way we expect it to be. Like there's always going to be challenges and figuring out like how we navigate that. And you saying, yeah, I was terrified and I did it anyway, is really kind of what I'm all about. Right. And that's why I like having these conversations. Like, what do you think helped you to get to that point of, here's the wild story my mind is saying, and I'm going to keep pushing forward?
Repetition, just waking up and doing it over and over again. And every time that I woke up and I wasn't like completely destitute, you know, that was like sometimes all of the affirmation that I needed to let me know that like, hey, you're fine. You're doing fine. You're also just doing the best that you can. You're human. You have needs. You have dreams, you have hopes, you also have like an exceptional amount of talent and value to give to this world. And if, you know, if one client can't see that for one reason or another, great, don't sweat it. That's just going to make room for somebody to step in and embrace you for all the talent and skills and knowledge and value that you can bring to the table. So again, it took me a really, really long time to get to this point. And honestly, I'm still struggling with it. I really don't think, I talked to a business owner who has been doing this for like 20 years. She owns her own marketing agency. And one day I asked her like, hey, have you ever woken up one morning and have you just like had it all figured out? Like, you just kind of like, know, yeah. Like, yep, this is what I'm going to do. No imposter syndrome. She's like, I'm going to stop you right there. No, absolutely not. You will never, like, if you're waiting for the day that like that all this kind of like comes to you and like you just have it completely figured out, then either you are doing something completely wrong. You have your head in the sand. You know, it's just, that's just not how it goes.
I love that. And honestly, I think part of it is just like a growth and learning mindset. Like, I think the most dangerous people out there, honestly, are the business coaches that say, this is how it has to look. I'm like, no, there are so many ways that anybody can be successful. Why are we trying to pigeonhole people and say like, it has to look a certain way? Like, it just, that makes no sense to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know what they say about Siths, they only deal in absolutes.
Right. But being able to see too, right? Like, you came off the trail. And one of the things I want to talk to you about, because I did a lot of evaluation on the PCT, like, what do I want my life to look like next? What do I want this next iteration of me, my business, how I engage with the world look like? So how did the trail change or transform kind of you and your business?
That's a great question, because the trail was a great exercise in managing expectations. And I thought on day one, as I was like looking at, you know, the Southern Terminus and reflecting on just the journey ahead of me, I was confident that I was coming into this experience with absolutely zero expectations, that I had mentally trained myself to get to a point where I'm just like, I'm just gonna, whatever comes to me is just gonna come to me. I'm gonna take it. I'm gonna take this experience and whatever gifts it can give me as it comes, no expectations. And I quickly found out that this just wasn't true. I had so many expectations about my trail experience that were formed either, you know, from following the journey of others from years past to popular media, and those manipulated and influenced what I thought a through hike was going to be like for me. In some ways, the trail absolutely exceeded expectations, and in other ways, it didn't. And when it didn't meet my expectations, I just kind of allowed myself to get into this like hole of, is it my fault? Am I not working hard enough? I'm just, as I talk about this, I'm realizing just how hard I am on myself sometimes.
Yeah.
thinking that I just wasn't being mindful and open enough to the experience of the trail. And it's just okay to be disappointed. It's just okay. It just matters like what you do with that. Sorry, what was your original question?
No, I love this. Like, I don't even remember what my original question was, because like where the conversation's going is, I mean, yeah, you were like, okay, I'm seeing there was a lot of me being hard on myself, but there was also a level there of just self-responsibility, right? Like, what do I want the trail to be? And like, can I make that happen if that's what I want it to be? Because I think often, whether it's the trail or let's say a relationship or growing your own business, we can say, right, we have zero expectations, but expectations are just, to your point, like beliefs that we've been kind of given from this like collective societal voice. There have been lots of people that hiked the trail before us, right? And there were lots of people that will hike the trail after us, and seeing that those expectations do leak in, it's almost kind of like, you know, well, same thing with business. Like, what did you expect it to be like, and how has that been different?
Yeah, I mean, at least like coming back from the trail, I just expected there to be just so much clarity around what the next steps would be for me, because I expected to get that clarity when I was on trail. And for whatever reason, my mind just completely blocked out those thoughts. If I ever really kind of sat down and told and prompted myself like, hey, why don't we think about business right now? What do we want to? And my mind's like, no, we're not going to do that. Nope. And it was just, it was wild how just immediately it just shut it down. Because it wasn't a priority. Why are you thinking about business when you are like surrounded by some of the most beautiful, beautiful landscapes and scenery in the world? This is not the time and place. And I just kind of accepted that and I moved on. And so when I came back from trail, I expected to kind of maybe allow, I expected all of that, I don't know, pent up creative energy and all those juices to just kind of come and fill me with inspiration and give me direction. And it didn't. I'm right now in a place where I'm completely reevaluating my business model. Because before the trail, it was kind of a 50-50 social media services management, and then copywriting, blogging. And then I got back and I was like, okay, well, I'm going to create this like extensive Instagram strategy, like VIP program thing. And, you know, the more that every time that I sat down to work on this particular program, I was just drawing a blank. And one day I went downstairs and my partner was like sitting there and I was like, dude, why am I doing this? Like, actually though, like, why am I doing this? He's like, I don't know. Why are you doing this? Like, what is it? Is it spark and joy? Like, just
yeah, you know, Marie Kondo, like, that shit.
Your business? Like, I was like, I think I may need to, because I guess if the trail taught me anything, it's that, you know, simplicity really is joy. And like, it does not serve me to overcomplicate things. I don't think it really serves any of us to overcomplicate things, but I've really kind of been embracing this kind of slow living, this slow life, slow living movement. And that, how that translates to my businesses, what are the absolute essential services that I can get excited about personally,
yeah,
and that I can give my all to my clients. And I'm still in a place where I'm figuring that out. I'm still figuring that out.
And I think honestly, that figuring out process changes as we change, as our business changes, and it doesn't end in the same way that you know, you ask your mentor, hey, like, one day do I wake up and like, it all makes sense? And they're like, nope. It's the same thing with evaluation. Mm. It's not like one day you wake up and you're like, aha, yes, now this is perfect. Mm. And it's that constant kind of stream of evaluating and changing and tinkering and playing, and not necessarily in huge ways, but sometimes in small ways. And when you were saying really leaning into that simplicity, I actually got like a little teary and I just felt like the emotion of that, like it's so true. A huge lesson for me last year was slowing down to speed up, right? Mm. Like I had to take that year to like get quiet, sit with myself. And I had every intention in the world to, you know, figure out my whole life plan while I was out on the trail, which also didn't happen because I was enjoying the moment.
Yeah.
But I think it kind of comes down for me anyway, and I'm curious if you agree, to like trusting myself to know what that next step is.
Yeah. And I think I'm kind of starting to realize that a lot of kind of my hangups around taking this next step is just not being able to trust myself to either, yeah, to take those next steps. And it's also just like overcoming just an immense amount of shame because, and these preconceived notions and expectations of what you should be doing as a business owner, what you should be doing on a day-to-day basis to succeed. And like, I'm going to drop like a massive F-bomb here, but fuck hustle culture. I
mean, say it louder for the people.
It is just poisoned, you know, every aspect of the amount of times I've allowed it to run and inform and influence my business, my processes, how I look and interact with my clients and how I see my colleagues and peers is just it's just gross. I feel gross with my relationship to it, and I want to distance myself from that as much as possible. And that's been a journey in and of itself.
Well, here's the thing, right? Like, and I find it so fascinating. I'm happy you brought it up because with hustle culture, right? I mean, you left the corporate space and you're like, I'm really burnt out. I don't want to bring that with me. I'm going to do my own thing. And I see so many people want to jump into entrepreneurship or freelance to have that freelance freedom, right? To be their own boss, to make their own rules. And they bring the perspective with them because they still allow society to dictate what it should look like. And when we do that, again, it's almost like this internal gaslighting that happens.
Mm.
And I know that that's what I experienced coming off the trail. I thought about going back to corporate. I was in biotech sales previously, and every part of my being was like, no, this is not right for you. Like, mm-hmm. you want to be coaching full time. That is where your heart is. It's what you love. And I was terrified to do it. So being able to say like, I'm now listening to that whisper, like my own personal wisdom. And I think that's where a lot of my fear comes up. So I'm not sure if that's kind of what you're finding too, is like, I want to listen, but it's scary to do that, man.
It's really scary. It's scary to listen to yourself. It's scary to trust your own intuition, which I don't know why, because when it comes to my gut instinct, usually, you know, my gut inclination about situations and people have usually not steered me wrong. And I don't know why I have a hard time taking advice from myself because I know that if I had a friend in the same exact position, I knew exactly what I would say to them.
What would you say?
I would say, you're right where you need to be. Trust the process, even if it takes more time. Let other people just pass you by. It's completely fine. You're not getting off that exit. You're not going where they're going. You're going at your own speed while other people are booking it in the fast lane. It's fine. You're cruising in the travel lane while you're figuring shit out. What is the rush? There is no rush. And time is such a precious commodity. It really is. We give it away so freely. And we are so hesitant to give away, you know, even if it's like, you know, we're eating this like amazing sandwich and somebody asks us to like have the other half, we can, you know, either if it's out of hangriness or because, you know, we feel like it's, you know, somewhat like our property in it, and we feel like, you know, it's something that we just don't want to give away. It's harder for us to see time for what it is. I mean, you can't get it back once it's gone. You can't.
It's such a valuable resource, and where we spend our time is huge. And what's interesting too, and this is why I love also talking to people who have hiked the PCT, and it's cool that we hiked it the same year. We just didn't meet each other, but we hear on the trail all the time, right? Hike your own hike. And I watch people struggle with that concept on the trail. And it's the same thing with business. Like I wrote a blog post years ago when I finished the 48 peaks in New Hampshire about like 10 lessons I've learned from hiking. And one of them was exactly what you're speaking to, which is like, you will pass others and others will pass you. Like, but go at whatever pace makes you feel comfortable. And it's very easy to want to skirt around that and compare yourself. I should be going faster, or maybe I need to slow down. And it's just like, checking in, like, actually, what do I need right now? How can I listen to that and like move forward with it?
Well, it's so interesting that you say that too. And this is like, this is also not to, this is not to disparage these people at all, but, you know, I usually find that, especially towards the beginning of the trail, when, you know, people were completely booking it, like just flying down the trail, guess where I would see them? I would see them in the next town, laid up, taking 5-0s with like ice packs, like all over their body, because they were injured and they pushed themselves like too hard because they either got overzealous, they wanted to keep up with their trail family, they really wanted to get to Julian to have that free pie and beer, like whatever it may be. But some people love to hike fast, and that's their pace and that's their speed. And that's like kind of where they feel like the most zen. But other times, like, it just really behooves you to just throttle it and take it slow.
Yeah. So how do you balance personally, like, the throttle and the slowness?
How do you mean?
I don't know. Like, do you have a process for you to tap into your knowing of, like, when I feel like I can push myself versus when I feel like I need to slow down?
That's a good question, because if I'm being honest, like sometimes maybe I sometimes struggle with that myself too. I think in a personal mindset, if I'm just, you know, maybe applying this to, if I'm applying this to hiking, which is my favorite thing in the world, then it's really easy for me to also get overzealous, and not in a sense of going super fast and being faster than anybody else, but to truly, like be in the moment, to enjoy the process, to enjoy the hike, and not consistently keep my eyes glued to the summit. I've hiked Mount Whitney 3 times already, and each time has been dramatically different. My first time being a day hike, doing the whole thing in a day, coming back down to the portal. And then the other two coming up from the John Muir Trail, Pacific Crest Trail, and just having a completely different mindset each time. And the most recent time on the PCT was, I just really got to, first of all, I actually didn't even want to do Whitney the third time. I just kind of feel like I got pressured slash like roped into it. But once I was on trail, I was completely fine. It allowed me, to really like savor it and enjoy it, and to like witness other people enjoying it too. I think when you're bearing witness to other people, it also kind of forces you to slow down too. That may seem like a kind of a weird and unconventional answer, but like, I think when I kind of just take myself like out of the equation and I just really learn to experience, bear witness to my surroundings and other people is when I actually slow down.
No, I actually think that's beautiful. Cause what I'm hearing in it is like, there's just a level of presence there. Like I have to get present to this moment and like other people help ground me into that. And I think it's very easy for so many people. And it's why when we're in the process, think of how many people you know, whether it's in business or in life, right? They're showing all the glory and the glamour of the hustle. And then like weeks to years later, they're posting about like how burnt out they were. And like, I wish I saw it sooner.
Yeah.
And I think having that evaluative process to be like, okay, how can I don't want this to only be like a retroactive reflection, right? Like, oh, I see it now because it already happened and now I'm tired, to be like, oh, in this moment, like, what do I need? Like, that feels like fine tuning that becomes a superpower.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was still like a lesson that I was like learning, like even until like the last day of trail. Like I didn't take a zero for close to 1,000 miles. I blazed through. Yeah, it was not good. I blazed through Northern California. And so the last zero that I took was, I believe, like Mammoth Lakes. And then my next zero was, I don't think, until Bend.
Wow.
I believe. So all, and the rest of them were just like all like in and outs. And I was exhausted. I was so, so, so tired. I was getting to a place of mental burnout too. And by the time that my partner came to grab me from the trail, cause I got off like right before like the Lion's Head closure. And I saw like, as soon as I got around to the corner and saw my partner, like I actually just gonna get emotional. As soon as I rounded the corner and saw him, like I just like dropped my knees and just started bawling my eyes out because it was just this overwhelming feeling of exhaustion that came over me and just feeling so disappointed in myself for pushing myself that hard without allowing myself some rest. It wasn't even something I felt comfortable bragging about. That's not a thing to brag about. Like I went on for so long without giving myself a breather. And even my partner was like, yeah, I love you. You look terrible. and then like going through Washington and not really kind of being able to enjoy myself fully, because at that point I really was like at a stage of mental burnout. And I was like, well, I feel like I'm too far in to take like an extended break or to even get off trail altogether and to really address this, the root cause of this burnout. But I was in a foul ass mood for like the last like 300 miles of trail. I was not in a good place.
Yeah. And that's so tough because I said to so many people, I mean, I watched some people miserable ash from like Campo onwards. And you're like, excuse me, nobody's making you do this. Like who's holding you at gunpoint? And for you to have that moment of like, you know, kind of total collapse, a feeling that disappointment. And like you said at the beginning, like sometimes you're going to feel disappointed and like, that's okay. But with all of that, like, what do you think was like your greatest lesson you took from that experience?
From pushing myself too hard or just the trail in general?
Whichever feels like the question you want to answer.
it is so necessary to sit in discomfort, but not just to sit in discomfort, but to actually confront that discomfort. And I don't mean like, you know, I'm feeling tired or like my leg is sore or damn, this climb sucks. Like, I just want it to be over or I'm really hot. But we all know that like just a really big part of thru hiking is that mental challenge. I really am of the mind that anybody, if you put your feet at Campo, I believe that anybody can make it to Canada. You have the right mindset. If you really do go into it, like with the good mindset, and sometimes that's going to falter. Sometimes that's going to involve you just going to a pretty shitty and dark place. And being comfortable sitting in that dark place, understanding why you're there in the first place. There were a lot of times, like in Washington, for example, where I just wasn't comfortable going there. I didn't want to go there. Because especially towards the end, when I found out about the fires, that was just kind of the cherry on top of the sundae. And I was like, I'm done, dude. Just nope. I think it's just important to sit, bear witness, confront that discomfort. And maybe that requires like a certain level of like emotional intelligence, because yeah, you're right. Like there was just like I met my fair share of people too on trail that I was like, man, like since I last saw you in Campo, you've been like nothing but, you know, miserable, or like you've talked about nothing but the AT. Bro, we're not on the AT, we're on the PCT. Come on, let's go.
That is, you know? Yeah, that's really funny. And to your point, I mean, talking with you now, like I can tell you radiate kind of emotional intelligence. Like you're really tapped in and tuned in with yourself. And I think all of us that explore this work, right, that have that level of self-awareness, it can also be exhausting. And sometimes I find myself leaning into like frustration of being responsible for my own experience of like, God damn it. Like, can't someone else just make it all work for me today? Like I want a day off. Yeah. But seeing that there is this relationship with the days that we're not our best, I think really highlight like, yeah, but we're working really hard a lot of the other time. And that just kind of helps to like reset the compass of like, okay, well apparently like that area needs some work. And you just kind of articulated that in a really beautiful way of like giving yourself grace while also being like, there's stuff that I can work on. Like we're human, for God's sakes.
Yeah, it's tough, especially as somebody who wears their heart on their sleeve. That was sometimes tough socially to navigate as well, you know, because one day I could be super chipper and upbeat and just like ready to you know, to crush miles and experience the trail with everybody around me and just be like, you know, conversing with everybody that I saw. And then there would just be other days where my head would be down. And if you were to interact with me, it would just kind of be like a obligatory response. And then I would be on my way because I was just kind of not in that place. And I can understand how that would give people who were, you know, at least acquaintances with me and who had seen me on trail before, like kind of a, you know, emotional whiplash, which is something that like, I kind of feel like I've been struggling with even before trail, as somebody who is diagnosed with like bipolar 2 disorder, but as somebody who again wears their heart on their sleeve, it's like if you know I'm in a bad mood if I'm in a bad mood.
Yeah, and I think anybody being able to read the energy of another person, right, like that is a skill. Some people are better at it than others. So to say the trail, I would say, is an intensification of what your front country life looks like. If you are extraordinarily happy and nothing can go wrong for you, you'll find that on the trail. And if you hate everything and you think the world's against you, like you're also going to see that on the trail. So it's just like this experience of seeing those things kind of come true, having stuff come up that you get to look at and trying to enjoy your journey at the same time. And again, the people that do that, it's a mixed bag. There's days that you're on top of the world
Yeah.
And you're like, man, I wish my whole everybody I knew was here to experience this minute in time with me. And there's moments where you're just like, yeah, I'm going to sit with that one because I need my time. And that's the beauty of it.
Did you meet a hiker named Toxic on trail?
Oh, I met Toxic very early on. She had hiked the AT previously. And I heard her trail name story. So yes, keep going.
Exactly. So I met her in Big Bear, and me and a couple members of my trail family, like we had gone out to McDonald's, came back later that night, and she was, we were at Kenny's place, and she was at the table, organizing her resupply. She told us her trail name story. And I was like, do you still want that trail name? Are you cool with that? She's like, nah. And deadpan, yeah, I guess so. I was like, okay. And so we directly engage her because she was super focused on organizing her resupply, but we were talking and we were making jokes, and I took a glance at her at one point, and I saw her giggling under her breath, and I was like, yes.
Got her, cracked her open.
Yes.
And for people who are listening, so I think I met Toxic at all I can think of right now is Mazama Village. Was that mile right before mile 100? There's Mazama in Washington, but I think there was another.
Oh, you mean Montezuma?
Montezuma. Yes. That's all I could think of, was a Montezuma market. So I met her there. I was hiking with Power Plant, and it was his birthday, and we had met her when we had stayed the night there. And so we were talking. And that's the beauty of trail names. I have a whole podcast on trail names if you haven't listened to it. But we asked her, who are you? What's your trail name? And she's like, oh, my trail name's Toxic. And we're like, oh, how'd you get that one? And she was sharing with us that she had hiked the Appalachian Trail, and she was talking with all these other people, like, hey, have you guys been meeting a lot of toxic people lately? And everybody was kind of like, not in particular. Why do you ask? And her response was essentially I have. So maybe there's a problem. Maybe I'm the toxic one. I guess that just kind of stuck. So you hear a story like that and you're kind of like, I mean, I wasn't there. There's no judgment in me sharing that story. That's exactly what she shared with us. And you're just like, oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I can't remember the next time that I saw her. It was a long ways up. Maybe it was even Syed Valley or something. I saw her a ways up trail. But yeah, I will never forget that interaction and cracking through the shell that was Toxic.
It feels like such a win when you have someone with this persona or this energy of, you know, how they present to the world, and you get a smile out of them, a laugh out of them, or you just kind of break that, their persona, right?
Yeah.
It feels like such a win.
I loved it. I was really glad to see her all the way up trail too.
Oh, that's the most fun. And as we're kind of wrapping up here, just out of sheer curiosity for me, what was your start date?
My start date was April 17th.
Okay, so that's hysterical. So I was the April 19th. So we were likely around each other.
Oh, yeah.
For probably 5 months.
Definitely. I mean, we almost definitely leapfrogged or passed one another at some point.
Oh, for sure. Most definitely. Okay. So as we've talked about all this stuff, right, with Alpine Start Creative and your journey on the PCT personally, and that's kind of shifted into your business. If you had to give anybody kind of this, sage piece of wisdom that you have learned over the past year, what would that look like?
Don't wait for the perfect moment to start. There will never be a perfect time. Whether it's deciding when to do a through hike and make that next big pivot in your life, if that's starting a business, great. If it's changing jobs, great. If it is completely abandoning everything and going to, be a complete vagabond, whatever you have your sights set on, there will always be a million reasons why you quote unquote shouldn't. There will always be a million reasons why something else should take precedent at that point. And I'm not advocating for not prioritizing, but I am also advocating for, yeah, like we said, trusting yourself. Trusting yourself, trusting that little, that whisper, and letting that whisper have a little bit more headspace than the inner voice that's telling you that it's not the right time, or I don't have the skill set, or who am I, or no. If you give yourself that in, you will always find a reason not to do something. There will never be a perfect time. Jump into it. And like, you know, when it comes to my business, there was just never really a perfect time. I apply this to like literally everything. I even say this to like, you know, my Instagram strategy clients, like just put the damn post out there. Like I, as like a recovering perfectionist, just yes. You will, I've spent an upwards of 2 hours on an Instagram post that literally could have taken just 15 minutes if I had stopped just nitpicking, self-editing. Oh my gosh, what are people going to think about this if I just get vulnerable? Just put it out there. Put it out there. See what happens.
Trial and error. Try and see. Fuck around and find out. Like whatever language feels good for you. And like you said, there's definitely a bit of vulnerability in that. And oh, even yeah. Like listening to that whisper of like, oh my God, I think I want to hike the PCT. Like the idea for me turning that into a reality for so long was a pipe dream. I was like, no way. Like every voice of reason in my head to contend with was so strong. So for you to say that, like, is, yeah, I, Christina Spinazzola, thoroughly support Ash's piece of advice for today's episode.
It is law.
It is law. Ash for president. I'm in.
Woo!
Awesome. And like I said, I love creating community. I love helping people in what they do. So first off, I want you to share a little bit about where people can find what you do, if they're interested in what you do, and then we'll get into, you know, what your ask is of my community too. So where can people find you?
So professionally, if you would like to find me, you can connect with me on Instagram at Alpine Start Creative. I'm also on LinkedIn. Ash Sarnota. If you want to connect with me on a personal level, you can follow me also on Instagram at Salty Millennial. I definitely get a lot more personal there. It's just mostly, you know, hiking posts, sometimes a funny reel here or there, and a hiking shit post like on my stories. We have a good time over there. I would love to connect with you, especially if you are a 2023 PCT thru hiker, or if you are just an aspiring thru hiker, or if you are a solo female backpacker hiker and you want to just to connect with more people in that community, you want advice, whatever it may be, I would love to connect with you.
And I would highly encourage you to do that, because Ash has been awesome to talk to. And I feel like we could have this conversation go another like 3 days, but as we both said, time cannot be restored. So I'm trying to be respectful of your time too. And to wrap up, right, if you could ask my community anything to help support you in your journey this year, what would that be?
Good question. Because another one of my weaknesses is asking for help. Like,
yes, the podcast where we work on things. Welcome.
Whoa. I would say, from a business perspective, if you or somebody you know is looking for a writer with some serious chops to help you create content for your outdoor brand, outdoor adjacent, whatever it may be, I am your girl. I would love to talk to you about your needs and just discuss how we can, you know, take your brand from sea level to summit through some absolutely stoke-worthy content. And then on a personal level, I'm really trying to get better at being social anxiety is something that I've struggled with for a pretty long time. So if you live in and around SoCal, and you want to connect for a hike at any point, I would love to connect with you also and to really get myself out there, put myself out there, because making friends as an adult is hard.
I love that ask. I mean, Ash and I are on, you know, video right now having this conversation, and I have a word in my corner here that says create, and a huge focus for me this year, especially after last year's rockstar year of the PCT community. I want to create a lot of community. So to, again, anybody in SoCal or close to SoCal or can get to SoCal, connect with Ash, go for a hike. And if I'm out that way, I would love to come meet you, have coffee, go for a hike and get out there. So
I would love that. Yeah, I would love that.
Awesome. Well, thank you for spending your time with me. I know it is important, and I really appreciate your honesty, your transparency, and your perspective on how a hike like this can change not just you personally, but professionally too.
Thank you so much for having me. I had so much, and this is my first podcast, and I had so much fun. So this is going to be a tough act to follow.
Oh, excellent. You're a natural. Awesome. Thanks, Ash. Everybody keep walking towards fear.